Hey, what's up, Callus? Man, we're so glad you guys are here tonight. If you're a first-time student, man, we would love the opportunity to meet you afterwards. So just find one of us after the service today, and we'd love to talk to you more about what Callus means for you. Well, my name is Michael Hinton. I'm one of the student ministers here at Traders Point, and I get the awesome privilege of loving and serving you guys, and I'm super excited to be here as well. I hope that you guys have had a great start to the school year. Some of you have been in school for a little bit, some of you just starting. I want to tell you a little weird fact about me, just so you get to know me, is that I remember every first day of every single year from middle school to high school. I know you're probably sitting there thinking you're lying, but I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. Every single day from middle school to high school, I remember the very first day of every single year, particularly freshman year of high school. Let me explain. I'd been working my entire middle school career to try to get this girl to be my girlfriend. From the first awkward conversation I had with her to the first embarrassment of trying to bust a move during a dance in eighth grade, till now I realized that my freshman year, we were going to share three classes together. And not just those three classes, but I would see her before school, during lunch, after school, band rehearsal. I was really excited. Now, some of you are probably sitting there thinking, wow, Michael is a true creeper. But back in my day, that was called being persistent, okay? So, freshman year, first day of school, our very first class is weightlifting class. Now, I'm super excited because I'm going to get in this class, I'm going to show off my muscles, and she's just going to fall madly in love with me. Well, let's hold the brakes on it because it didn't work out exactly the way I thought it would. You see, I had forgotten to bring my weightlifting clothes. And according to our coach, you had to wear what was found in Lost and Found. I had to put on these really tight pants, shorts, and this really tight shirt. And in our weightlifting class, the coach says to us, all right, who can lift these 400-pound weights? Now, the object of this lesson was to show us that we couldn't just start off with the most heaviest of weights. We had to work our way up to it. But me, wanting to impress and win the love of this girl, thought, oh, I could take care of it. It's not that big a deal. I'll roll with it. And so I get up to the weights and I begin to lift. Now, mind you, my backside, or as some would say, rear end, was facing the classroom. So all the students, plus this girl, were watching me from behind. As I go to lift the weight, you hear this loud ripping of my shorts. And so there, in front of the whole class, everybody could see my underwear. It was literally the most embarrassing moment of my entire life. And I learned a couple of lessons that day, many of which were, hey, you know what? You can't lift 400 pounds. Number two, trying to weightlift your freshman year when you're scrawny and a buck 50 wet, maybe in front of a girl, not the best idea. But number three was, you know what? I really couldn't rely on my own strength. Now, some of us are sitting there and we're thinking, yeah, you know what, Michael, you're right. We can't rely on our own strength. But I'm not just talking about our physical strength. I'm also talking about our mental strength. What about our spiritual strength? What about our emotional strength? Last week, we began a series called Fan the Flames. And our campus student pastors led us off with this idea that if we use our spiritual gifts and which God has given us, we have the ability to do some amazing things for Christ. As Paul says, use our power, love, and self-discipline in order to be used for the glory of God. And one of the ways we can do that is by reaching our friends who are not connected to Jesus. But in order for us to do that, we have to understand where our true strength comes from, which leads us to a very logical question at this point, is where does it come from? Who do we get it from and how do we use it? And when I talk about true strength, I'm talking about mental strength, the ability to be able to think about yourself and how you think about others. What about emotional strength? And that's the ability to intake emotion from others and output emotions from yourself. And what about spiritual strength? That's the ability to recognize sin in your life, but know that you're covered through the grace in Jesus and there's truth in his resurrection. When we recognize those strengths and find out where they come from, it'll lead us to inimaginable possibilities in our life that Jesus could use us from. I believe we find this answer in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we've been journeying in this new series. And we find Paul, who's the writer of this letter, talking to a teenage pastor by the name of Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Timothy, my dear brothers, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So here's Timmy, no older than you and I, leading this church. And Paul writes this letter to encourage Timothy. Now, Paul is getting ready to come to the end of his life, and he's seen it all. And he knows the trials and the heartaches and the things that Timothy is going to have to go through. So he wants to encourage him to stand strong, because with Timothy leading this church, it's going to be hard, and there are going to be days that Timothy is just want to quit. So Paul wants to reignite and encourage our man Timmy in his efforts for the kingdom. Now, catch this with me. Look what he says. He says, be strong through the grace that God gives you. He reminds him that his true strength comes first and foremost from God. Now, it's not the strength that Timothy is mustered up on his own and he said, oh, I can do it. It's all me. I'm running the show. No, this is strength that comes from God. It's the strength that comes through grace. Did you catch that? It's not of might, it's not of weightlifting, it's not of jacking up cars above your head. It literally comes through this word we call grace. Now, some of you are probably making a face like, what? Grace? Isn't grace all nice and soft and cuddly? Like most of us, we imagine grace being like coming home one day and it's raining, and so you get in your nice pajamas or your sweatpants, and you get in your bed, and the mattress in your bed has this foam top, and you just kind of sink in it, and then you wrap yourself around in these nice, comfy blankets, and then you get in your pillow, and you just lay there, and you're watching Netflix, and it just feels all so good, like, ah, grace, so nice. And that's what we think of grace. And I wouldn't say that you're wrong, but I would say yes and also. You see, grace is not just comforting, it's also fierce. I like to explain it in this way. Grace pulls us out of our mess and welcomes us into a place of comfort, but grace knows no bounds and it doesn't shy away. Here's a reminder. Grace is God's reminder to us that he didn't rescue us to leave us where he found us. Grace in and of itself is the strength through the face of adversity and prosperity. Grace isn't just a noun, it's a verb, it's bold, and listen here, grace is unapologetic. When we are strong through grace, it gives us the confidence and boldness that we can never have on our own. And since we no longer live in the guilt and shame of our past, we now have the ability to do far greater things than that we could ever imagine. You see, grace minimizes our weaknesses and maximizes the gifts and talents that God has given us in order to fan our flames of faith. So when Paul talks to Timothy about fan into flame, the spiritual gifts in which God has given him, this is exactly what he's talking about. Through grace, we now have the strength to exponentially and immeasurably show and tell others about the work God has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. So what does that mean for you and me? How do we live this strength through grace in our lives as we live in the light of Jesus to others? Well, check with me in verse 3 of 2 Timothy. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul gets right to the hard stuff. And that's just like Paul. Like he could like serve it up on a nice little platter and be all cool and nice and sweet and flowing. But Paul's like, no, before we get to the good stuff, you need to know the hard stuff. And so he says, suffer like me as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Paul understands that it's going to be tough, and he wants Timothy to understand as well. And so here's what he's telling Timothy, and here's what I want you to understand, is don't back down. There are going to be moments in Timothy's life where the where it's just going to be hard and he's going to want to give up and call it quits. But Paul encourages him to endure. Endure like a good soldier. And I love the analogy of a soldier, because a soldier hangs on. A soldier doesn't quit. A soldier wants to do everything possible to please their commanding officer. They're fearless and they remain strong regardless of the situations. They endure and don't back down in the face of adversity or prosperity because they don't want to let down their commanding officer. And Paul wants Timothy to endure and not back down, regardless of what's going to happen to him. And that same message can be said for you and me. God desires that you endure even through the tough times, that you hold on, you stand your ground, and you don't back down. When the hardships come, don't back down. When bad things happen, don't back down. When your friends leave you, don't back down. When you lose a loved one, don't back down. When school gets tough and the teacher gives you a bad grade and you're plotting their demise, don't back down. When your relationship fails, don't back down. And when no one is journeying and listening to your faith story, don't back down. And I think we see the best example of this in Jesus himself. Look with me in Hebrews 4:15. Says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. Jesus went through the same hard times that you and I did, and he didn't back down. Now, I understand. Let's go ahead and just clear this. You are not Jesus. I am not Jesus. And we don't have the type of will and determination as Jesus does. But Jesus gives that to us. That is our strength through grace. He gives us the ability to not back down and to endure the hard times. So if you're able to endure and you take the grace that you've been given and use it as a strength to hold on, to stand your ground and not back down through the hard times, I think that gives us the ability to work our window. So when you stand strong, you're able to work your window. And I want to take this analogy that Paul uses of the soldier just a little bit deeper. Look with me in verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, soldiers don't get tied up into the affairs of civilian life. Paul wants to bring Timothy's focus in because it can be easy for us to kind of like go like this, right? We're here and our focus starts to go this way. We start to go out because things are starting to come in. Other distractions are happening. Speaking of distractions, let's kind of rest there just a little bit because distractions have a way of doing that to us, doesn't it? We use distractions to drown out real life and reality. You know, one of the best ways I use distraction is I really love Netflix and Hulu. I love getting in my bed when my kids are asleep. My wife's asleep. She's snoring on the side there. And I love to turn on some Netflix or Hulu and just watch it and just kind of drown out reality. Whatever problems I had that day, whatever issues I've been dealing with, whatever stress or just things I just don't want to focus on, man, Netflix and Hulu has a great way of drowning that all out. Now, I'm not telling you that's bad, but what I am saying is that we use distractions to keep us away from facing reality. We think, oh, we're good. You know, we just start to take our eyes off what's right in front of us, and we think it's only for a second. It won't damage me. It won't do any harm. But distractions, listen closely, distractions start very innocent, but soon they become consuming and most times sinful. Distractions like outward appearance. We become so concerned with how we look, the makeup on our face, how we're perceived, the clothes we wear, the things we buy, that we tend to put that appearance above anything else. What about popularity? We want to have the most friends. We want to be the star quarterback. We want to be the lead in the drama or the musical role. We want to be the star tennis player. We want to have the best grades. And so we work so that everybody will love us, that we're willing to forsake good friendships, do bad things, talk gossip about other people in order to gain that popularity. What about dating relationships? Now, before I go any further into this, let me just clearly state, I think dating's great. I love dating. I think dating done in the right way can be a great and fun time in your middle school and high school years. But dating done wrong when you let dating take the wrong place in your life, it can be very dangerous. It can be sinful. You'll allow your boundaries to become wide open and loosen, and it'll lead you to places that you don't want to be. What about personal success? Now, you would say, well, I'm a student. The really success I care about is graduating and getting to college. Well, that success and that mentality can often take a very dangerous place in your life. You so focused on getting that A, so focused on getting that scholarship, so focused on scoring all those touchdowns or hitting the winning shot that you tend to tune out everything else, including your relationship with God, your relationship with family, and your relationship with friends. It can become very easy for us, as Paul says, to get tied up in that. So Paul wants Timothy to focus right what's in front of him and not worry about everything else that he can or can't control. Paul wants Timothy to work his window. So what do I mean by this phrase, work your window? What do I mean? And how do you do that? I think that when we use the strength that comes through the grace we receive in Jesus, and we're able to stand strong, not back down, and endure the tough, hard times that may come, our ability will lead us to working our window. And here's what I mean. When you work your window, you know your purpose. Your purpose is your identity. In working your window, your purpose is who you are and what you were created to be. Your purpose is that, hey, you were a sinner, lost forever, but because of the grace in which we received through Jesus, you have now been saved. And because of that saving grace, you now can go tell others about the saving grace. Here at Traders Point, we have this saying, humble and hungry. And I think this epitomizes this idea of your identity. You're humble enough to understand that you were saved by the grace and it was nothing that you did, but it was a free gift of God. But you're hungry enough to go and tell your friends about this same grace. So in working your window, understand that your purpose is to be humble and hungry. Second, in working your window is preparation. Now, we don't just send a soldier out on the battlefield ready to go without any training. No, the soldier has to train. He has to work hard. He has to perfect his craft. And in the same way, as followers of Jesus, the two biggest training methods that we have is one, reading the word. Now, you may say, Michael, man, there's so much reading. I have tons of textbooks, too much to do. And I would say, you know what? You're right. I completely understand. But I promise you, if you take just 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes to get in the word, find yourself somewhere in the scriptures and just start reading. I promise you those 10 minutes will turn into 11 minutes. Those 11 minutes will turn into 12 minutes. Those 12 minutes will turn into 12 minutes and 37 seconds. Then you'll go back down to 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and then you'll keep moving up 12, 15, 20, 30. And before long, you'll find yourself lost in the world of the scriptures. And when you read God's word, God builds strength in you. You hear from your creator. You hear from the one who loved you and died for you. The second thing in your preparation from reading is prayer. Now you would say, well, Michael, I am new to this Christian faith, or maybe I've never really kind of made a decision for Christ and I don't know how to communicate with God. Or maybe you'd say, man, Michael, I've been journeying with Jesus for quite some time and I still feel really uncomfortable when I pray because I don't know the big churchy words or the big words to make God listen to me. Listen, the way I am talking to you right now, that's exactly what God wants. You know, sometimes I felt that my most honest prayers have come when I just don't feel like talking like some big pastor. My most honest prayers have been like, God, I've really messed up today. I've really struggled. God, I don't know if I can make it. God, this sucks and I really need you. I guarantee you, God has heard your prayers and he's listening to you, but you've got to be willing to have that conversation. Imagine you being in a dating relationship and all you did was hear from that other person. Or maybe all you did was you did all the talking and that person never talked back. Would you consider that a relationship? No, of course not. And that's the same way with God. He just wants to hear your heart and hear your thoughts as honestly and as lame as you can put it. It doesn't need to be some grand theological word or conversation. It could just be a simple, God, I need you. So when you're working your window, you know your purpose, that you're hungry and humble. You are preparing by reading the word and praying. And then third, you are performing. You work your window by performing, by loving and serving others. The greatest gift that you've been given is this grace. And so out from that should be an outpouring of service to others, to love and serve other people. So working your window means knowing your purpose, that you're humble and you're hungry, that you've been saved by grace, and so you want to tell others about it, that you're preparing to work your window by being in the Word at least 10 minutes a day, and that you're praying, that you're having honest, good conversation with your Creator, and that you're performing by loving and serving others while loving and serving God. Can you imagine what would happen if you ran with these things in your life? Can you imagine if you started to live your life in the way that God created you? That if you use that strength that comes through grace, which remember, grace is comforting, but it's also fierce. If you use that in your life to work your window, the things that God could do for you, if you knew your purpose, if you prepared for your window and you performed in your window, how much closer could you get to God? How many friends could you lead to Jesus? How could you have an impact in other people's life? And I think we see no better example of someone working their window than that of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it states that Christ suffered for our sins once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. Jesus worked his window so that his impact could be felt and could change the course for you and me. Now listen to this. Our story, because of Jesus, won't end in the grave. It will begin in heaven. So working your window means knowing your purpose. Working your window means preparing for your purpose, and knowing your window means performing in your purpose through the strength that we receive in grace. So that leads us, as we end, to some logical questions that we should be asking ourselves. What are you going through that has made you want to quit? What are you going through that you would say to me, Michael, I don't know if I can make it? How long have you been depending on your own strength? And how much longer will you let the flames of your faith die out because you haven't realized where your true strength comes from? Now, some of you are sitting there and you don't have really good answers to these questions right now. And that's okay, because today you can begin anew. Today you can begin to understand, know, and believe that Jesus offers grace to you, and it comes so free. You can know that because of this grace, that you will have the strength to know Jesus and make Jesus known. Because of this grace, you will have the strength to endure the tough times and not back down. And because of this grace, you will have the strength to work your window in knowing your purpose, preparing for your purpose, and performing in your purpose and working your window. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for this day, God. Lord, we just pray that as you are fanning the flame of our faith, God, that you would reveal to us this grace which gives us the strength to endure the tough times, to work our window, God, and to know that you are with us, you are for us, and you are working ahead of us. Jesus, pour into us so that we may pour into others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.